In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad you all made it. Good thing we have cell phones where our clocks just change automatically. Good thing to rely on, I think. So this morning, as I have a question for you. As I was preparing, it occurred to me, have any of you, and I expect you have, I generally don't ask questions that you already know the answer to, you probably figured that out already, have had an engagement with the Holy Spirit? You have experienced God through the power of His Holy Spirit in some way. Some of us have had that experience at such a level that it has changed a part of who we are. Sometimes it was a big thing, sometimes it was a little thing. We got some moment of clarity that changed our life. Anybody had that happen? And you knew it was God. Then, what happened? Suddenly, the world, chaos, things start pressing in, things start falling apart, sometimes quite literally. And we're given a choice at that point to be faithful or to run. As we're looking at Luke this morning in the gospel, there's a lot here to give us clarity and understanding of what's going on. Verse 1 and 2, Jesus, chapter 4 of Luke, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Jesus had just received baptism by John, and there was this very public, clear Holy Spirit moment. Amen? And then he was whisked away into the desert to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. See, this happens a lot. We actually do something in the church. I didn't mention this earlier, but I feel like I should now. We have this wonderful process we call confirmation. Do you know what we call that when we confirm young people? Graduation. Because very often what happens, our young people come forward, they make this proclamation before God and the church that they are going to take on their spiritual journey. And then they get involved in school and they fade away. Anybody ever seen this happen? Just a little reminder for y'all. Anytime that has happened and you have attended someone's confirmation, you agreed to help them on their journey. I think we need to change the language. When we ask, will you support these people? It should be, will you stand next to them on the battlefield? Because that's where they are placing themselves. We, brothers and sisters, are in a spiritual battle. You can believe it or not, but if it happened to Jesus, I'm not sure why you don't think it won't happen to you. And here's another little insight. If you don't think you've ever been in a spiritual battle, it's because you haven't been on the battlefield. You haven't had the moment. You haven't gone beyond yourself. You haven't gone out into the place where all you got left is to trust God. If you don't think you've ever been on the battlefield, you need to come see me, because I can show you where it is. Chances are, you've lost the battle. See, Jesus was put in the battlefield after his baptism, just like every one of us. When we proclaim Jesus as Lord, as we heard in the earlier reading, something changes. And it's a spiritual change. Some of us become aware of it, and some of us pretend it isn't happening. But it is happening. If it happened to Jesus, brothers and sisters, you can count on it happening to you. We need to hear this, and we need to move in this understanding. And we need each other in our process. But Jesus is on the battlefield today. So as we see this nature of evil and the nature of God facing off, we need to also remember that it is within our nature to be godly. We are made in His image, amen? He indwells us by the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen? This is what we know. This is what we practice in our tradition. These are our very words at baptism, confirmation, ordination, even weddings. And in all of those moments, the entire church stands together and is asked, will you support? And we all gladly say, we will. And then somebody wanders off and somebody gets confirmed at the age of 14 years old and suddenly they're too busy for church. And we just go, well, that's what happens. We don't leave a brother or sister on the battlefield. Now, they may choose to go it alone, and there's nothing we can do about that. But when we see somebody faltering, we need to understand there's something spiritual happening in their lives. And what do we do about it? Well, Jesus gives us the understanding today in his own testing by the evil one. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Jesus answered him, it is written, one does not live by bread alone. He was famished. He had not eaten in 40 days. I suspect he was a little hungry. I'm sure at some point over 40 days it occurred to him that he could create his own food if he wanted it, correct? But he didn't. And when the devil came alongside of him and said, well, you should do that. Boy, you must be hungry. You should turn these stones into bread. I mean, you're the Son of God, right? Well, the devil already knew he was the Son of God. He already knew who Jesus was. He's trying to tempt him from the call. His call was to stand toe-to-toe with the devil in a moment of what would have been, for in his humanity, huge weakness. If I had not eaten for 40 days, first of all, I would not have a pleasant conversation with anybody. But the reality is, I'd been really tempted and would have said, okay. Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, to you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I will give it to anyone I please, if you then will worship me, it will all be yours. It'll be all about you, is what the devil says. Not the first time he said it, he's just said it differently. When was, where were we the first time he said it? In the garden? Same old tricks. Same old devil. Same old human nature that desires things that are not of God. Jesus answers, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Now something interesting happens in this next temptation. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus again replies, that should sound familiar to you, by the way, you sung it earlier. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Now you see what the evil one is doing. Here's your most basic human need. You can have this if you follow me. Here's a desire of your heart and maybe even a bodily desire that you have. You can have it. I'm telling you it's okay. And then he talks to him. He goes, well, you can have all the glory. People will see you, recognize you, know you. All you have to do is worship me. There's stories about it. If you're a blues fan, you already know this. If you're a Charlie Daniels fan, you know this. Sold their soul so they could play better. Worldly, not godly. That's what the evil one appeals to. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to do the same. Be focused on the world, not on God. He ramps it up in that last temptation, though, doesn't he? See, Jesus was rebuking him with Scripture. And then he fed him Scripture that justified asking him to do what he said he would do, that he wanted him to do. It says that they'll save you. He'll send his angels to make sure you don't dash your foot upon the stone. Jump, if you're who you say you are. Jesus responds, do not put your Lord, your God, to the test. See, there's a fullness in the Word of God. Jesus is pointing to the fullness of this understanding of who we are. We know that from God's Word. So how often can we be tempted by looking at some portion of Scripture and saying, you know, you should do this, it'll be okay, it's all right. And look, God says, do this. And you know in your heart, you're like, well, that's not the fullness of it, is it? Or at the very least, you're a little bit disturbed. Maybe you don't know that Scripture goes deeper than that understanding. But Jesus did, obviously, and he called the devil out on it. And he set him back. See, we live on this battlefield just as Jesus was in this battlefield. We hear these things and we understand that we are struggling and we know that we're struggling. And the point is, not everything that we are called to do looks evil. The evil one is one, he lies and he distracts and he tempts. And we have to be on the lookout for that. We have to know who we are and whose we are and what it is we're called to do and the fullness of what that is. Otherwise, we can get pulled away from the core of what God is asking us to do. When I was a chaplain down in Manatee County, serving the church down there, I served State College of Florida. And at this point, the ministry was at its peak. I had a part-time chaplain who had just graduated from there and was going to USF as an adult. I had two paid interns that were students. In student ministry in Southwest Florida, it was alive and well, and it was amazing. And we had this day where every organization on the campus could set up a tent and be set up in the common space. I'm sure if you've been on any campuses, you've probably seen things like this. Every club, every whatever, get together, tell people about what they're doing. We were able to be in the midst of that. And we were just full on sharing the good news of the gospel, handing out Bibles, praying with people. Every once in a while when we did those things, we'd show up with a thurible just because people want to know what it's about. That's the thing that the smoke comes out of. In case you're unaware. You got to remember, sometimes our language isn't normal to the world. And so it was that morning. I swung by to make sure everybody showed up to do their job. Chaplain's there, he's rushing all over the place. I'm like, what's going on? And he's like, well, they ought to do. Where's the intern that's committed to be here? Something came up. She's not going to make it. She's going to be late. I'm like, and what was that that came up? I don't know. She just said something came up. Okay, so I jumped in. I help him set things up. You know, you got to build a tent, all that stuff. In the midst of that, my middle daughter, Laura, calls, and now I used her name. I got to buy her lunch. She's in Orlando at this time in life, and she is in labor with her third child. And her mother is in Virginia because her sister is in the hospital in Virginia. I'm thinking, she's like, will you come? I'm like, well, of course, I'm going to come. I'm dad, right? I wasn't scheduled to be working there that day. I was just coming by because I was working with students, be honest. Make sure. I delegate, but you make sure it happens. That's delegation, right? She finally arrives. I'm like, what happened? Oh, a friend of mine called. She really needed somebody to talk to. Is she really sick? No. Did her parents die? No. Was this a major life-changing event? No. Could you have talked to her any other time? other than when you were supposed to be here doing what you proclaimed you were called to do, sharing in this ministry of evangelizing this campus? She didn't like that conversation very much. And then I got to tell her what I'm telling you today. Sometimes the distractions that the evil one puts in front of you look like good things. But here's the other thing that they generally do. They serve a part of us that most of us struggle with on a fairly regular basis. This part of us is a three-letter word called ego. I have to be right. I have to be the one. I need somebody to need me. And we are falling into that plain old thing that's been happening since the garden. And that is all that the devil was trying to tempt Jesus with. You know why he wasn't tempted? Well, he knows who he is. We need to know who we are. We need to know whose we are. So when we are tempted and being led off of the path, we can tell the difference between what's of God and what isn't. That doesn't mean we won't be able to justify the other things that are pulling us away as godly. We can do that if we choose to. But it's usually because we're fighting against something, or we're tempted by our ego to continue forward in the direction we wanted to go. Amen? And you get on the other side of it and you're like, oh man, I would have turned stones to bread. That was a turning stones to bread moment. And I did it. I fed me instead of staying on to the task which God gave me. We get caught in this, amen? It's a struggle. And we need to be aware of it. We are on the battlefield. This whole concept of journeying church, and it's just so wonderful and it's glorious. It is. It is 100% filled with blessings. When we move together as the body of Christ, we get to see the glory of God. And every once in a while, for whatever reason, he actually glorifies himself through us for the world to see. And it's an incredible moment. But it's also another moment, just like Jesus had in his baptism, the devil went, oh, we got to shut that down. He was okay while he was wandering around, kind of collecting whatever, and he was making a lot of noise, but now all these people saw this Holy Spirit move. We got to stop it. See, he does the same thing to each one of us. It's the thing that makes us afraid. It's like, oh, you can't do that. That person doesn't. That's beyond your ability. Hey, you want to see a spiritual battle. Be with me sometime when I get called out to the hospital, wherever it may be, because somebody's dying. And I get into the truck to drive there. The spiritual battle that begins, incredible. The evil one immediately opens and he goes, hey, Brian, I saw your baggage in the bed of the truck. Let's inspect it. Starts pulling out every detail. Oh, you think, oh, you're not going to say the right thing. You're not going to do the right thing. You forgot to bring this with you or that with you. Yeah, this isn't going to go the way it's supposed to go. It happens. Sometimes it's big things. Most time it's a little thing. But you know, you stand firm and you confront it just like Jesus did. And we get to verse 13. He says, when the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. See, the devil couldn't make Jesus do anything. And somebody already told me between services who it was, and I forgot already. Thankfully, I'm too young to remember. Some comedian or somebody who had always said, the devil made me do it. Flip Wilson, is that right? See, somebody told me between services. Now I remember. Here's the news, brothers and sisters. Devil cannot make you do anything. He has absolutely no power unless you give it to him. He can tempt you. He can deceive you. He can lie to you. He will stroke your ego 100%. But when you choose to do something outside of the alignment of God, you chose. And you need to ask yourself, why? Why did I do that? Was it fear? Was it something deep within me that keeps me from trusting God? So this is how it works. That's why we have one another alongside to help each other out in these processes to grasp what is happening right now. We need to hold on. We need to do that which God has called us to do in every situation. Every situation. Because sometimes the devil can be a little tricky. And he'll tell us something that brings us comfort in our brokenness, which will disturb your peace in your relationship with God. And we'll choose that comfort of our brokenness and instead live in that struggle, that spiritual struggle of knowing that we're not fully in alignment with God. And I promise you, the peace of God is much better than the struggle within. So yeah, we are asked to do things that we're not comfortable with. But if they're in alignment with the will of God, I'd say do it. You think just being in friendship and relationship and in Christian community is a good thing? It is. If you start to accept the challenges, the spiritual challenges laid before you, and rebuke the attempts of the evil one to stop you from moving in it, you start moving in the Spirit of God, that's a whole nother life right there. Then we begin to see the true glory of God. If we approach our service in the name of God, like we're building a resume, if we do it because it makes me feel good, there's more to it. And that's not enough to feel good. There are blessings, and you will experience them. But if anything in which you are doing in the service of God is more about building up your ego, making you known, getting glory on your behalf, keeping you from being challenged, setting a boundary is how far you will go with God. If it includes any of these things, you need to ask yourself, who do I worship? Because as Jesus quoted, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Amen.